This conference will now be recorded.
To wall, all inside my head, just one little thing, didn't mean that much to him, but it keeps building and building and building this wall in my head, this wall in my head, just one tiny thought, it started out so small, the thought made a brick, the bricks made a wall. The wall keeps me down, and the wall trips me up, and it keeps building and building and building this wall in my head, this wall in my head.
Right, everybody, hello and welcome to March's 2020 PBIC Gold Teleclass. And that was, for keen-eared listeners among you, that was The Wall in My Head, Walls in My Head, from the musical, who can guess? Everybody's Talking About Jamie, yeah, which I mentioned in January's ledger. So in January's ledger, we talked about the walls in my head, how the walls in our head are often the thing that holds us back. Yeah, you might think it's the competition, you might think it's your lack of opportunities, you might think it's your lack of experience, you might think it's the fact that you haven't got a better van, or the fact that you haven't got a better website, or the fact that you haven't got lead generation in place, or and then all these things are important, yeah, but the main thing that stops you from moving forward in your business is you, and the walls inside of your head that you've constructed over the years, which you need to then take apart brick by brick. And this is a big part of what we do inside the Diamond and Platinum coaching groups. And it's what we'll be doing in much greater detail inside of the upcoming Elite group too. But today we're going to be talking about, I thought it was a really good idea to recap the seven deadly destructive habits, which I went through in January's and February's ledger. Whilst it's important to dismantle these walls in your head, practically there are more immediate things that you can do to create room for your business to grow, create room for the new marketing activities that you're going to have to do if you want to move your business forward. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. But before we dive into that, a little bit of housekeeping. First of all, I want to welcome the new members to the PBIC. Welcome aboard. You have arrived in the place for building a prosperous pet business. Yeah. Just very quickly, a little bit about my mission, really. So you guys know I started off my business and then I went into dog training and I still had a burning passion to help pet dog owners to better connect with their dogs so they can have more fun, because that's exactly the journey that I went on as well. And I realized life was a lot better when you can play, influence and control the dog that you own, or the dogs that you walk in your dog walking business in my case as well. But after that, I kind of moved on to becoming a pet business mentor. I went on a sort of marketing education, and I realized that it's better, my talents are best served helping dog walkers, dog trainers, dog groomers, doggy daycare owners, et cetera, to build better businesses. I'm going to have more of an impact by helping you have more of an impact in your world. Yeah, and a big part of what we do with that is involved with pricing. Okay, this is the only time I'm going to mention pricing on this teleclass. But pricing and the idea of building a prosperous pet business really lies at the heart of my philosophy, really, for the PBIC. Because by not being premium, okay, by all these dog trainers and walkers that you see in these groups, and they're complaining about the fact that they're attracting cheapskate clients and they're working all hours God sends and they're not making any money, or they're attracting bottom feeding clients. Well, that does nothing for the industry. That does nothing for the welfare of dogs. All right. You should be striving to create the most prosperous pet business in your town. All right. Not only for yourself. Yeah. Obviously, you're important, and what your business brings in for you as a business and a family, as a business owner and for your family, is incredibly important. But if you're creating a prosperous pet business, if you're creating a premium pet business, then you are educating the dog owners in your town to take the welfare of their dogs a lot more seriously. And that they need to be investing a lot more in their dogs and in their pet dog owner education as well, in order to provide better nutrition, better training, better care for the dogs while they're not there, better grooming if the dog requires grooming, better pet care for the dogs while the owners go on holiday or if they're busy or whatever, right? The owners will appreciate their dogs more, and they will appreciate your service more if they're more bought into it, if you're charging premium prices, right? So when I'm talking about building a prosperous pet business, when I'm talking about the PBIC being the place to build a prosperous pet business, right? I'm doing it because, to me, with my experience of the industry since 2011, to me, this is the best way for me, for you, to make an impact in your community, right? Now, I don't want this to sound kind of Gordon Gekko, you know, just talking about money all the time, but that genuinely, that's what I believe. Yeah. And if you don't believe that, if you don't get on board with this kind of philosophy, this way of thinking, that you should be always upping the prices, always introducing upsells, etc., then you're going to struggle. You know, you're always going to struggle, because ultimately you have a finite amount of time, and you're going to run out of that time pretty quickly. And so you're going to be therefore cap your earnings, and you're not going to be able to educate and push on the dog owners in your town to make them more appreciative and more aware of the kind of training and care and nutrition that their dogs receive. Okay, so I highly recommend that you. Now, this is something that we're going to be talking in great detail about on Sunday's Day with Dom, where I'm going to be talking about how to build an affluent, attracting pet business. All right. This is a great time, therefore, for you to think about upgrading your Impact ticket if you haven't yet already. Yeah. Impact is the big event on the horizon, looming in a nice way, riding towards us. I just recently did a podcast interview with Amy Smith, and she's absolutely buzzing about it. I found out a lot more about her actually talking to her off the podcast than I did before. She's been through some tough times on her journey. She's done a lot of things that I recommend people do. She's niched down. She has a sort of hero product, like in the app, which is something that everybody needs. You don't need an app, but you need something like a book is usually the most common thing that we choose. But she's done those things, but she's had to do that whilst being pregnant, whilst raising babies. She's faced a lot of shit and a lot of put downs and a lot of negativity from people in the pet industry as well. And she's going to be talking about that at Impact 2020, about the whole business journey, ups and downs, etc. So I highly recommend that you, if you haven't got a ticket for Impact yet at all, you grab a ticket ASAP. And if you're just coming to the Saturday, then you might want to think about upgrading your ticket to come on the Friday or the Sunday or both. That's a really good option. Friday, we're doing workshops. So I'll be starting off the Friday. Then we've got Alex talking about how to create content that's going to move the dog owners in your town to buy from your services. We've got Rachel Spencer, who's going to be talking about PR. And we've got our good friend Vicky Fraser as well, who's going to be there talking about book writing. You're going to actually have a plan to write your book by the end of these workshops. In the afternoon, we've got the PBIC Marketer of the Year presentations. So if you want to present for that, then you need to obviously be there on the Friday too. And then we're going out for a meal on the Friday evening. Amy will be there as well, and you'll get an opportunity to get some photographs with Amy and the workshop host too. On the Saturday is main event day, and on main event Saturday, I'm going to be sharing a four pillars of a profitable pet business, one of which is position, place. Amy's going to be talking about how niching has helped her business. Niching is something that a lot of the guys have done in the PBIC. If you look in the Diamond and the Platinum groups, look at what they're doing with their businesses. Yeah, they're not trying to appeal to more and more people. They're trying to appeal to niches. Yeah, we've got Natasha niching down to lead walking and helping people on their walks. We've got Claire niching down to fearful dogs. We've got Nicola niching down to puppies. We've got Carol niching down to helping dog trainers who want to deliver a better service. We've got Kerry niching down to fearful dogs. We've got Sarah who's written her book as well. Sarah Bartlett, who's written her book about multiple dog households. That's her niche now. In years to come, these people are going to own these niches, and this is going to end up creating whole other arms of the business. You're starting to see this now. Carol's selling online courses. Claire has built upon the fantastic work that she did with her books last year. And she's off on a 15-day tour of the UK with her Three Steps to Silence seminar. And a bunch of the hosts for the seminar are obviously Diamond members, Diamond and Platinum members as well. So this is, you see, when you ascend, the opportunities present themselves. There's a fantastic community in the PBIC, but there's a closer, more, I guess, productive partnerships to be had within the Diamond, Platinum, and the Elite groups will present some more far-reaching opportunities as well for people. Yeah, so a reason for you to get to Impact, to think about upgrading your membership to Diamond. And yeah, more immediately, we have next PBIC Curry Night, just happening in York. I'm going to be there with a snazzy shirt on. So yeah, come along to the Curry Night. You'll have a great night. If you're local, there's no excuse for you not to be there. And if you live a bit further away, then, you know, hop your ass on a train or drive up and you'll have a fantastic time with us. Please take advantage of all the opportunities that I'm placing in front of you. Yeah. Even just the Curry Night, the PBIC Curry Night, really good opportunity for you to pick my brains, blow off some steam, get away from the business, your family, your dogs, all the things you hate. Just kidding. To get away from everything, you know. The Impact event provides a way to do that, you know, on a more exponential basis, because the value of getting away from your business to think about your business, something that hardly anybody does. My Platinum and Diamond members do, because I force them to do it once a month, once a quarter. But you're going to go away with, you know, not only a clearer idea of exactly what you should be doing in your business, you know, a proven plan of action. You're going to go away with more connections. You're going to feel more part of this fabulous community that we've created here. And you'll go away with a rocket up your ass, you know. All of the things that you can only really get at an event like Impact, you know. This is the Pet Business Success Summit, you know. And who, if you run a pet business, why would you want to be a part of that? So yeah, watch out for any special PBIC emails I'm sending out re-upgrading your tickets. Or if you're interested in upgrading your tickets, then email Beth on beth@packleaderdogadventures.co.uk.
This conference will now be recorded.
So Beth will be full-time at Planet Dom from the end of May. She's leaving school then. Life goal ticked off the list. And yeah, but in the meantime, she's going to be gradually taking over more and more of the admin.
This conference will now be recorded.
Apologies for the stop-start nature of this teleclass. I've just had two deliveries within a couple of seconds of each other, which is brilliant. But anyway, hopefully we'll get through the rest of the call without them. Hopefully we'll, because we've got a lot of interesting things to talk about. So I identified seven deadly sins of distraction that you need to defeat and dismiss this year. Well, this year and every single year. And I drew the analogy with the film Seven, which I'm sure most of you have seen. If you haven't, you should check it out. It's pretty gruesome, but it's also a pretty awesome film. And in the film, the main guy, the murderer, he murders people by using the sort of seven deadly sins. Yeah, lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, envy, and pride. And I came up with seven deadly destructive habits that are more than likely holding you back from achieving the kind of success that you want to this year. Yeah, so the seven deadly destructive habits were undefined goals, seeking approval, neglecting health, inaction, feeding distraction, not educating yourself, and perfectionism. So we're going to blast through those seven deadly sins of distraction right now, starting with undefined goals. Now, undefined goals, not having a goal really, is the number one reason. And it's not only the number one reason, as in it's the number one reason on the list, but it's the number one reason why I would say you are consistently failing to get your business to where you want it to go, right? And the clue as to why that is in the sentence which I've just said, yeah? You're trying to move your business forward. Hopefully you're trying to move your business forward anyway. But if you don't have a goal, if you don't have a goal, you don't have a direction, right? If you don't have an idea, a vision of what you want your business to look like, well, you've got pretty much zero chance of getting there, right? Now, your business, if you're in my world, right, if you're in one of the social media loving gurus groups, all right, chances are, you know, you might increase your prices by 10%, you might gain a few clients, but ultimately you'll still have, in my opinion anyway, you'll still have a pretty ordinary pet business. You know, you'll be working lots of hours, you might be making a decent bit of coin, but you'll be working lots of hours and your income will quickly cap, and you'll not only that, but you won't be incredibly fulfilled because you won't have created the kind of impactful business that you want to. Right, they're not the kind of businesses that I help people to create. I try and help people create impactful, extraordinary businesses that allow you to make a tremendous amount of money and also to make a tremendous impact with your skills and services as well. And unless you have that as a goal, well, you just ain't going to get there, you know. Now, because of because of the way the marketing that I teach works, where we go pricing, we go positioning, and then we come up with some kind of communication device to where we can feed the message out about our premium niched services, yeah, which is usually a newsletter. That's the kind of main thing that we start with. When you do that, your business is going to grow, you know. If you do it consistently enough, then your business is going to start growing. Yeah, and because your prices will be a lot higher than what they would have been had you not been in my world, well, then your business is going to grow a lot more profitably, right? But at the same time as that, you still need to have an idea of where you want your business to go. A goal, right? Your goal should be, you know, specific to you, all right? I have life goals. All of my Diamond members and Platinum members have life goals. And in PBIC Gold members, you should have life goals too, you know? And we break these down into 5-year, 1-year, and 3-month goals. This is why we work in 90-day sprints in the Diamond and Platinum groups, and this is how people get so much done. Yeah, because I help them set goals for where they want to go, and then they go away and they do the work and they get there. Yeah, this is why we've had so many people writing books lately and creating new arms of the business. Tim, Sarah, Sarah, Claire, Carol, Natasha. Lots of others coming up as well, in the background, you know, is how we get so much done, you know. Um, But this, yeah, well, I'll use my example as an example. That this, without the goal is the first thing that you do, yeah? And then you look at, well, what is the business doing now? What have I done in the past that was successful? And then, therefore, what do I need to change to move it forward? And most recently, this is how powerful this is when I did it recently. So I had a number of meetings with Lorraine, my accountant, last year and this year, really, where we figured out that it was time for me to go VAT registered. Was a little bit late with that, actually. But anyway, never mind. It's all paid up now. Time to go VAT registered. And now we're going to go limited and stuff. And I'm chatting with Lorraine and I said, you know, before I went in for the meeting, even I was thinking, right, what do I really want to achieve this year? You know, I achieved certain things that I wanted to achieve last year. What do I really want to achieve this year? Well, one of the big things that I wanted to achieve this year was to make my home life a lot better for everybody, if I could. And a big goal of mine was to get Beth out of her job and into helping me with this business. This is not like Don wanting to coddle his wife and stuff and you know, get a, you know, this is something that she wanted as well. Yeah, I should say. She's been teaching for 20 years now. She's head of a big department. It's really stressful, long hours, etc. And tied with that actually as well, I'm kind of, because I like to keep my business quite a small numbers business, there are opportunities coming up for me that I've had to put a pin into, like Elite and the other Inner Circle and stuff like that, where these things are, they're on the bubble, but I don't really have the capacity to do them yet, and I don't want to do them half-assed. Therefore, where I need to increase capacity. So Beth leaving means she gets what she wants, and then I get what I want as well. Yeah, from this business, and I think we'll work really well together. Well, proof will be in the pudding, won't it? But I think we'll work really well together because she's very good at the things that I'm not so good at. Yeah, I'm very good at. I have very good eyes. I have. I'm very good at seeing a big picture. I'm very good at the strategic stuff, but I'm not so much of a details person. Well, she is, you know, she's much more of a details person. So I think we'll dovetail quite nicely there. Anyway, getting back to the thing, the point was like, can we afford this? You know, first of all, can we afford this? So we went away and looked at the ones and twos, as we call them, looked at the money, looked at everything that was going out, looked at everything that was coming in, and then said, well, basically, can we do it if we didn't have your wage coming in? Now, obviously, I'm planning and I have big plans to grow my business further and to take it in some different directions as well, and to do more collaborative stuff, actually, with a lot of the doers that we have inside of the PBIC. But it, without all that, without factoring in any future growth, could we do it now? And when we looked at the figures, it was pretty obvious that, yes, we could do it. Right. Now, until that moment, I'd been operating on a kind of a make-believe premise where I was thinking, oh yeah, well, when I hit this number of subscribers, or when I hit this much a month, or when I hit this much a year, then I didn't know. I didn't have a clue. Yeah. And so the goal of, can we do this, can we get Beth out of a job, that's when it became a reality. Yeah. Now, it's happened a little, it took a little bit of time to implement. So this was probably first became apparent to me maybe October, November of last year. Then we sort of talked about it over Christmas a lot, and after Christmas we decided, well, after February probably, really, but after Christmas we decided about it. She mentioned it to the head, and then in February we said, like, yeah, fuck it, let's do it. You know, we're in a position where we can do this now. Pretty good timing for us, actually, all round. But you know, without, in the past I had this mythical figure in my head of what I needed to be turned over for that to happen, but I hadn't clearly defined my goal. And that's it. Now, basically, you know, so this is the power of having a clearly defined goal in your business. You should also have some personal goals as well, you know, so you should have some business goals, some personal goals, and some fitness goals too. We'll come on to fitness probably next, but whilst I'm on the subject, but it's, these things all kind of tie in together. You know, you're never gonna feel truly fulfilled in your business unless you feel truly fulfilled in your personal life as well. All right. And like I said, over the years, we're pretty good now at helping people to achieve all of these things. within a private coaching group setting. Yeah, so let's talk now about deadly destructive habit numero two, we'll say it's neglecting health. I've talked to my diamond clients about this on a teleclass recently, and the more I think about it, the more time goes on, the more I see the decision by me to join the gym. Well, actually, not just the decision to join the gym, but the decision to attend the gym regularly. I'm seeing that as pretty instrumental to my success, the success I've had over the last year. So I think since I joined the gym in October, November 2018. 2018, is that right? Yeah, it must be, yeah. I've gone pretty much three times a week, at least three times a week, every week. And I'm there and I'm back within an hour. I'm not even... Now, to look at me, you might think, what the fuck have you been doing in there, Dominic? And to be truthful, you know, when you first join the gym or something, then you to a degree, you're kind of going through the motions just a little bit and getting used to going. And then when you get a little bit stronger, you kind of, your confidence increases a little bit. So you start pushing yourself. So it's only really in the last kind of 3 or 4 months, I think, that I've really started, well, since Christmas, since I've started to push myself a lot more in the gym. Or I'm feeling confident. I could have speeded that up, no doubt, if I had hired like a personal trainer or something. And that's still something that I'm intending to do, actually, hopefully later on in the year. I'm going to put that down as one of my 90-day goals, just to experience it and see what it's like. But the habit, form, and aspect of turning up at that gym three times a week has been, now it's just a habit. It's just something that I do. I get up in the morning, I make a cup of coffee, I make Toby's breakfast, we watch an episode of The American Office or something like that, and then I write an email, take him to school, I go to the gym. I'm back by 9, we've walked the dogs, whoever's staying, and Derek, and then bingo, I'm into my day then, you know, it's like a habit, and it's a habit that when I really knew it was a habit, I think, was Christmas 2019, and then over the summer as well, because ordinarily, I would drop off doing stuff like exercise when Beth's off, because, you know, we might be having a little bit more red wine in an evening and whatnot. But not blaming Beth for that, by the way. That's completely me. It's been instrumental. It's helped me so much. It's something that I'm keeping up, you know. When I'm busy, and there are occasions, even when I plan pretty well all the time, but even when I'm super busy doing something, I've like kept that gym going, you know, I've kept those trips to the gym going, and it's been good from a habit point of view. It's obviously been good from a health point of view. I feel sort of, you know, a little bit bigger. I feel a little bit stronger. I feel a little bit more in control of my health, really, you know, which I hadn't really felt like since... I guess I felt a bit like that when I was doing a lot of walking in the walking business, but yeah, I feel in control now, and I feel like, I don't know, it has kind of exponential benefits to just the health, you know, to just the health benefits. It's made me look at my business in a different way. You know, I feel like a strong engine for the business now, which I am, which I need to be, which you need to be as well. Obviously, not just physical health as well. Your mental health is incredibly important. Toby's had a few issues over the last kind of 3 or 4 months with his exams and his mental health. And, you know, one of the things that he was suggested to do was to do a bit more exercise and stuff, you know. So they're both tied in together. Not always healthy body, healthy mind, but it does help. And I think but your mind is like another muscle that you need to look after, you know. You want to be very careful of burning out. If you feel like you are becoming stuck in your business, or stuck for ideas, or stuck for momentum, it's usually because you're approaching some kind of, not usually, it's often because you're approaching some kind of burnout. you know, this burnout is building up. So please be aware of your own mental health. And I'm not a mental health expert by any means. I'm not even particularly knowledgeable about mental health. But I know having activities that are non-business related are incredibly useful. For me, bread making, something which I started this year, which I've thoroughly enjoyed, both making and eating, and got other plans as well for another few things. We plan on, to be honest with you, I've got a huge number of plans that I've got mapped out that are that will be coming into effect from, I would say, June, really. After May, June, after Impact, when Impact happens, and then when Beth leaves her job at the end of May. I've also got some holidays planned as well, because I think we're both going to need it. But I've got some big plans for how we're going to kick on, revolutionize not only the business and the impact that I'm able to have with the coaching side of things, but also with our own life. You know, we've got some big plans for that as well. Not necessarily big plans as in, you know, buying a house in Spain or anything like that, just big things that we're going to do. They're going to make a huge difference to our mental and our physical health. You know, the vehicle should be the business, the business should be the vehicle that brings you what you want. And yeah, so, you know, please make sure that you're taking into account your, are you looking after your body? Yeah, are you looking after the, are you looking after your body and your mind, the main instruments for your, the main engines for your business, really? Something that I think a lot of the private coaching clients, this is something that I help them with, is they become a lot more self-aware. So previously, we won't mind me mentioning, but I've not mentioned by name, but a number of the guys in there have had mental health issues in the past, as we all have, I should say, it's not a surprise, but and have often got themselves in a situation where they were running really fast and burning out, and being inside of that coaching environment, that closer coaching environment where you're getting accountability and help from me, it's been kind of instrumental in just teaching them more to be more self-aware, you know. So I see now a lot more self-awareness on people's 90-day goals, where they actually recognize, hey, you know, I need to be careful I don't burn out here, and I need to be careful I don't take too much on there, and, you know, all this will work out as long as I don't burn out. And, you know, this is what we all need to do this. Yeah, we all need to we all need to look after ourselves more. Yeah. Right. Let's move on to inaction. Inaction is, well, it's actually deadly distraction number four, but I'm going to use it as deadly distraction number three. Because inaction and not doing anything, you know, this is the recent top dollar dog trainer online business bootcamp. In that business bootcamp, I'm sharing the 7 traits of highly successful dog trainers. Right now, these traits are things that will that I've identified highly successful dog trainers do. So they might not have labeled it, but I've labeled them all from my observations of people like Cesar Millan, Victoria Stilwell, Nando Brown, Susan Garrett, Kira Sundance, John Rogerson, Ian Dunbar, all these kind of people. I've identified successful traits that they practice in their business. Maybe it's like I say, not even knowingly. And I know that if we model those traits, we will ultimately, if we're consistent, we will experience a lot of success in our business as well. So that's why we cover the 7 traits. Anyway, before we do the 7, get into the 7 traits, first I did a quick wins webinar. And as a little insight for you, in the quick wins webinar, one of the 10 things that I recommend people to do is just to do more stuff. All right, if you just do more stuff in your business, more good things will happen. Right now, this is all relative, of course. If you just do more Facebook posts, you might get seen by more people and therefore grow your business. However, if you do more face-to-face stuff, event, more lead generation, you know, then that's obviously going to have a much bigger impact on the business and how fast you're able to grow. But just doing more stuff in general is beneficial. Okay, so inaction, not doing anything. And you know if you're coasting, you know if you you know if you're not doing the work, basically, right? And if you're, now that's fine. If you want to coast, that's fine. Some of us need to coast now and again. But like, if you're choosing to do whatever the hell else it is that you want to do that's going to take you away from your business and thinking about your business, then you wouldn't get yourself to blame when it comes to things not happening, you know? I mean, I present different strategies and hints and tips for you every single month. And you also get my personal help on the gold calls. But ultimately, you've got to do the work, you know? So if you'd rather buy a GoPro and spend 2 months figuring out how to use that, if you'd rather get another puppy, if you'd rather watch Netflix, you know, or if you'd rather go on more dog training seminars, right? Well, if you could do all those things as well, but if you're doing those things instead of doing the activities that are going to contribute to your business growth, well, then, you know, it ain't going to happen. Yeah. You in action. All right. There's never a perfect time to do something. There's just like now. All right. You've just got the time that you've got now. You just need to decide to start moving forward and doing something. In the ledger, I gave the example about the three shopkeepers. So the first one will be these are people who I used to meet when I was working in Imperial Tobacco. So the first shopkeeper would be somebody who was like a reluctant shopkeeper who had a redundancy, bought a shop, didn't have any interest in business, nor people skills, and therefore ended up fucking hating the shop, a bit like me with the online store, really. Second shopkeeper would be in a decent location with a good footfall, making a decent enough amount of money, but weren't pulling up any trees. And they were just kind of plodding on, almost like a job, really, until retirement. Shopkeeper number three, often Asian, but not exclusively. These are the guys that were doing lots of different things all of the time. You know, they would buy a shop, build it up, try something else, add a fish shop onto the side of it, you know, try home deliveries, maybe, you know, start building up their profits, start a property business or something, buy another shop nearby. You know, these are like, they're all some lot of successes, a lot of failures. Why? But they were just doing stuff all of the time. If you kind of, you're either doing the wrong stuff or you're not doing enough, well, this is the place where you learn how to do the right stuff. Yeah, if you want to do easier stuff, less effective stuff, there's other places to go for that, you know. But this is the place where you this is the place where you learn how to do the good stuff. You know, you just have to do it. Okay. So for God's sake, like, try and do, you know, try and do more. Try and do a little bit more with your business. Let's move on to next deadly destructive habit: not educating yourself. Not actively educating yourself to raise your knowledge to the level required to improve your situation, you know? So, very quickly, my business journey is I started off not knowing anything about dogs. Actually, probably knew more about business than I did about dogs. Didn't know anything about dogs. Thought my enthusiasm could carry me through. It didn't. I tooled up dog training wise. You know, went on the course with John Rogerson, met Dave Davies, spent the next 2 years learning from Dave, implementing everything that I was learning in my dog training business. Still marketing at the same time as that and trying new things. But then after the online store debacle, really realized, fuck me, I need to learn about marketing here, because these supposed experts that I'm paying money to, they haven't got a fucking clue, you know. To go into a little bit more detail for you, you guys have heard me mention about spending many, many thousands of pounds on a marketing agency who helped me with my inverted commas helped me with my store back in 2015, and burned through thousands of pounds for Google pay-per-click. And this, bear in mind, I didn't know what I know now. This was Dom pre Dan Kennedy, John learning lead generation and stuff. But they were spending thousands of pounds on adverts, sending people to like buy Kongs and treats and stuff like that. They were doing that, we weren't taking any email addresses or anything at the time. We weren't doing any lead generation. So we were spending many, many thousands of pounds, but not gathering any emails from people. Well, how fucking insane is that? Yeah. So there was no follow-up able to be done at all. I didn't know what follow-up was then particularly. Well, I did because we'd practiced it in the tobacco business. But yeah, like, you know, and then these are people, these are supposed experts, you know. So that was where it was clear to me, look, I need to tool up here. I really need to get a grip of the marketing. And I went on a marketing education. And if you are here, then you have started your marketing education too. Right. And we've got the blueprints that you need to move your business forward. As we said before, you've just got to do your work, you know, but you've really, often the thing is, if you really knuckle down with the marketing, right, and you get into it and you get into writing a newsletter and you embrace storytelling and all these other things, you start email marketing or you start writing blogs or whatever it is, you really will start enjoying it, you know, because you'll find that it unleashes a bit of a creative side in you. And not only that, then you're an actual stakeholder in the growth of the business. You know, you are someone responsible for the growth of the business. You're not just sitting waiting for people to contact you or to ring you up or to pick up your leaflets. You're driving the business forward all the time. So, you know, last word about that with the courses and stuff, you know, you want to be very careful of going on, keep booking so many dog training courses, because ultimately you're only going to really learn obviously dog training stuff, and often it's going to be someone's going to be thinking they're really clever, thinking of a more complicated way to describe something, or a new more complicated way of describing something that already exists. Not always, you know, some of you guys need to go and get your fix now and again, that's fair enough, but often what you're learning on these courses is it's not directly applicable to the stuff that you're going to be teaching pet dog owners. Yeah, there's a whole industry now built around teaching more complicated stuff to dog enthusiasts and dog trainers. All right, but very little to none of that is directly applicable or will help you to connect with and help pet dog owners. Okay, because they're different profiles. Yeah, dog trainers, I get it. If you're a geek and you want to learn, you know, everything you can about dogs, I get that. Don't get me wrong. I'm similar with the marketing. All right. But everything that I learn, I implement. You know, everything you learn often just, you know, sits in your head, or, you know, you come away feeling good about it. But it doesn't directly. Well, you can't take the stuff that you're learning and then directly teach it to pet dog owners in your town or directly apply it to that, because they don't have they don't have the drive for knowledge. They just want solutions, you know, and you're being taught ever more complicated ways of doing things, and your clients are looking for faster, easier ways of doing things. Yeah. You see the disconnect there. All right. So be very, very careful about what you're exposing yourself to. Again, you want to go and do it, you want to get your fix, fair enough. But, you know, please fucking knuckle down with the marketing as well. So let's move on to the next deadly destructive habit, seeking approval. And this is something that I've built up over the years. My ability to not give a shit about either what people think about me. Yeah, well, basically, that's it. Don't give a shit about what people think of me. And apart from, I should sort of caveat that with, apart from the people who are in my world, people who I'm helping, and, you know, my very, very close family. But that aside, but even then, you know, even then, it's like if you've done the other stuff that we've talked about in this teleclass, you know, if you've got a really strong goal, a compelling goal that's pulling you forward, and you've got over the inaction, and you're feeling like you can achieve this goal, then you need to have a strong sense of purpose about it to move forward. And that means that you aren't easily knocked by other people. You shouldn't be at all. The extreme of that is where most people operate, which is that not only are they knocked by what people think, they're seeking approval from people whose opinion it doesn't fucking care anyway. They shouldn't care about. You know, these people are never going to pay you money. You know, without this kind of attitude that I've got now, I would not be making this. I would not have made the strides that I have. I would not have bounced back from the online store. I definitely wouldn't have written a book. I wouldn't have gone out and done seminars. And, you know, some of my PBIC private coaching clients find this too now, you know. Start putting the head above the parapet, they're getting shot down a bit more. Amy Smith is going to be talking about that at Impact. Yeah, this is why the community that you put yourself in is so important, because, and I say this to people when they join my programs, the Profit Kickstarter and stuff, you know. I say, don't just think that because you've taken the brave step of ponying up and investing in your marketing education, don't necessarily think other people are going to be happy for you. Yeah, people, even people close to you, spouses, kids, extended family, friends, peers. Yeah, some will. Some will for sure. The supportive ones, the good ones will. But many won't, you know, and they won't like the idea of you bettering yourself. All right, this is why you have to kind of remain really, really strong, and not be seeking approval. All right, this kind of really ties to the inaction habit from before, whereby people are so preoccupied and bothered about other people's opinions, they don't even get started with an idea. And that, to me, that's pretty sad, you know. That's pretty sad if you are not, if you're not moving forward, if you are not trying new things, if you're not achieving your potential because you're worried about what someone thinks. To me, that's really, really sad, you know. And I would rather try and jump over something and fail and fall and break my nose or break my ankle and, you know, and then heal up and try again, then never fucking try anything, you know. And we're not even talking about really physically painful stuff here, you know. Now, it can be emotionally painful when people are knocking you back, but like, yeah, trust me, you know, if you want to not only improve your business but like your self-esteem and stuff as well, then like seriously consider upgrading your membership, because we're getting pretty good at helping people to do this. All right, so next up is feeding distraction. I still feed distraction. Right, I'm gonna come clean with you here now. You know, I still use Facebook. I still, you know, fall into the occasional wormholes. When this is almost never good. It almost always leaves me feeling in some way inadequate, or in some way that I'm not good enough. But the key with this is that, especially in this day and age, Jesus Christ, like, you know, what did people do when there was no social media and stuff, you know? Well, they obviously did something, didn't they? but it's a good job that they did, because this now, we're feeding distraction all the time. Yeah, we're feeding distraction with social media, primarily. But anything that's kind of pulling you away from your goals, you know? And I told the story about the old Cherokee Indian chief. I saw numerous different Google citations for this. So I wasn't exactly sure who to credit it with. Some people said it was Sitting Bull and other ones. But anyway, about this, the old Indian chief is teaching his grandson about life. And he tells him that there's a battle going on inside of him between two wolves. One is evil. His anger, his envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, inferiority, false pride, superiority, and ego. And the other one is good, yeah? He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, kindness, humility, generosity, empathy, compassion, and faith. And these wolves, they're battling all the time. And the fight is going on inside of everybody. And the grandson thinks about it for a minute, and then he says to his grandfather, which wolf wins? And the old Cherokee says, the one you feed, right? Now, I use that analogy for the destructive, are you feeding the distraction? Which beast are you feeding inside of you? Are you feeding the growth elements inside you? Are you feeding the activities that are going to contribute to the growth of your business? Or are you feeding the distractions that are going to pull you away from what it is that you tell me that you want to achieve, that you tell yourself that you want to achieve, you know? And you can achieve a hell of a lot with not very much time on your hands. Leads us to deadly destructive habit number 7, perfectionism. This is another thing where you can really learn from the way that I do things as well as how I do them, because I've learned, I don't know if I've always been like this or whether it's my kind of slapdash nature in the past, but perfectionism, this is not something that really exists in my world. You've heard of Iron Man, Aqua Man, and Batman. Well, I am ID Man, which stands for It'll Do Man. And It'll Do Man works. And 99% of the time, it'll do is a perfectly good way to go, you know? People telling me that things aren't ready yet. I don't have enough information. I'm too busy. My horoscope isn't, you know, my planets aren't aligned. These are all reasons people give for not starting things, to which I generally reply, so fucking what? Do it anyway. All right. And I push, if you allow me to, then I'll push you on and you'll get far more done than you ever thought possible, you know? But you have to let go of this perfectionist streak, this perfectionist trait that you have. In some ways, it's a good thing, you know. In very few ways, it's a good thing. When it comes to stuff like, you know, creating a book, then you kind of want it to be right. You kind of don't want it to have spelling mistakes in it. You kind of want it to do the job that you want it to do. And sometimes that can take a little bit longer than you like, as Platinum member Tim Jackson found out when he was putting his cover and his book title together. And we went round the doors many different times until he came up with something that that he and we were all happy with. But this inner circle started with a Google group and the ledger. There was no website, no resources. And creating deadlines is a great way to help you with the perfectionism. Which is why the 90-day goals that we do are so effective, because deadlines are set in stone, you know, and deadlines are great for moving us forward. Yeah. When I talked at the start about the habits that I have, habits of getting up in the morning, writing an email, going to the gym. These are all our deadlines, you know. The email has to be written by 20 to 7, 20 to 8, because I leave the house then. You know, I need to be back from the gym at sort of 9:20-ish because I've got dogs to walk then. Yeah. The podcast has a deadline. The ledger has a deadline. Now, I don't always hit all of those deadlines 100% every time, but I'm 99, 95, 90% there most of the time. And that, my friends, is good enough. Yeah. That is good enough. You are good enough. So, you know, let's dispel and dismiss these 7 deadly distraction sins, start creating new habits so that we can get more done in our business. That concludes today's teleclass. A final reminder that if you really want to kick on with your business this year, then you should be booking a ticket to Impact 2020. I'm starting to get little goosebumps thinking about it, little hairs on the back of my neck standing up, and a little bit of excited wee-wee comes out again every now and again. So it must be going to be good. So on that note, I shall bid thee farewell. I'll see you next time. Make sure you study the ledger. Make sure you post up in the Google group. Take part in the Achievement Friday. Be consistent with your marketing, and good things will happen. Peace out. Catch you next time.